You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. With devastating fires and the dramatic start of the rainy season making headlines, it's hard to remember that we voted in the midterm elections only 3 weeks ago. We know now that Democrats dominated in California, and many changes are going to take place at local and statewide levels. And to break it down, we have with us KALW's election coordinator, Angela Johnston, and news director, Ben Trefney. We invited them back into the studio to talk about what is new. Hey, guys.
Hi.
All right. So a lot has happened since Election Day, but the votes aren't really finalized. Ben, give us the details about that.
Yeah, you might think it's all wrapped up, but it's not quite there yet. Counties need to finalize the results by December 7th, and then the Secretary of State has another week to certify those results. Mm-hmm. So that's all about the local races and measures. For state senators and assembly members, the California Constitution states their term is going to commence on Monday.
You look that up.
Yeah, it's Article 4, Section 2.
Angela, what about federal officials?
Yeah, federal officials, that's U.S. senators and representatives. They'll start their terms on January 3rd.
Okay, so we know in the big picture, Democrats have taken back the House of Representatives. Just today, Nancy Pelosi was nominated by House Democrats to be the Speaker, though that won't really be determined until January, right?
Right, yeah, the whole House will vote at that point.
Right, and also today, Barbara Lee narrowly lost her bid to be the first woman to lead the House Democratic Caucus. Mm-hmm. And over the last few weeks, we've been watching a lot of the races to the South, and they almost all turned to Democrats, right, Ange?
Yes, and there's actually one that's still undecided. It's the only undecided race left in the country. California's 21st district, it's near the San Joaquin Valley, and it includes areas of Fresno County and others in the Central Valley. It's three-quarters Hispanic and voted for Hillary Clinton back in 2016. Mm-hmm. But the Republican incumbent, David Valadao, has been in office there for three terms. On election night, he had a big lead, and some networks were quick to declare him a winner.
And he was quick to declare himself a winner, too. Mm-hmm.
But fast forward 3 weeks later, and his Democratic challenger, TJ Cox, has taken the lead. That's after counting thousands of mail-in ballots. Those are typically Democratic. As of this conversation, he's still in the lead.
Okay. Any other close races?
Well, the state superintendent of public instruction was also really close. Uh-huh. So early on, Marshall Tuck, he's a former charter school executive, took the lead. But when votes kept coming in after election night, Tony Thurmond kept gaining points and he's declared victory. Mm-hmm. So since the superintendent of public instruction doesn't have a lot of power on their own, Thurmond needs to have a good relationship with the governor. And he and Governor-elect Gavin Newsom are aligned, both backed by the teachers' unions and the Democratic Party.
Okay, so both of those candidates for head of education were Democrats. And that was the case for other races as well, like the U.S. Senate, where Dianne Feinstein held off Kevin De Leon by about 10 percentage points, Ben.
Right, that was part of this blue wave that the media really likes to talk about. And depending on the final results in District 21, which we just spoke about, only 7 or 8 of the state's 53 House seats will be filled by Republicans, just 7 or 8 of them. And every single statewide office in California was won by a Democrat.
Yeah, Democrats are, according to the Sacramento Bee, on pace to control 3/4 of the state assembly. And this hasn't been done since, guess when?
When?
1883.
Okay, what does that mean then?
The supermajorities could mean that Democrats could approve more tax increases or put constitutional amendments on the ballot without being challenged by Republican votes.
Yeah, they're not even going to come close to being challenged by Republican votes. And that's going to be really interesting with somebody who's proven himself to be more progressive politically in the governor's seat, at least on social causes. And I am really, really curious to see what Governor-elect Newsom does with this office. This is a guy who challenged the state Supreme Court on same-sex marriage. He's been ahead of social trends like cannabis legalization and gun control, and he has been a backer of single-payer health care. And that's going to be really interesting now that he has this position of power with Democrats backing him everywhere he looks. I think it's going to be the most fascinating story of the coming year and maybe for longer than that.
Former Mayor Gavin Newsom, we know him really well
and
here.
Former city supervisor.
That's right. Too. That's right. So let's talk about what else is changing, and we'll start with the state propositions. Taking a look at the Secretary of State's website, so we've got Prop 1, 2, 4, 7, 11, and 12 passed.
Yeah, quite a few.
What does that mean?
Well, the first three you mentioned, 1, 2, and 4, all have to do with bonds. Mm-hmm. Californians typically seem to support bond measures, and it showed in this election. The approval rate for bond measures is actually 90%. Mm. So every bond measure on the ballot has been approved since 2014. That's with the exception of Proposition 3, which was the big water bond that did not pass this November.
Right.
And when I was going over my ballot with friends before I voted, one of them kept asking, how does our bond load affect our debt? And so I looked it up. The legislative analyst said the total cost to pay off the three general obligation bonds that were on the ballot this year would be $26 billion, resulting in an average cost of $650 million per year for the next 40 years. That's significantly more than the state currently spends from the general fund on its bond debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the proposition that passed that I'm most interested in is Proposition 12. That's about animal confinement. And it's going to require bigger pens for all egg-laying chickens, for breeding pigs, and for baby cows, or veal, as they call it in restaurants. Ag folks say this is going to raise costs, which makes sense, and those prices are going to get passed on to consumers. So it's possible, actually, that while voters pass that law to make sure animals are treated more humanely, it might end up having this added effect of reducing animal consumption. We'll see how much economics affect people's eating habits.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
All right, what about local races?
Okay, so even though Libby Schaaf took the lead early on election night in the Oakland mayoral race, a few of her competitors didn't give up until only recently. That's after all the votes were counted. Schaaf got about 50% of the vote, and Brooks got about 25. She only conceded a week ago, and she wrote, "Though I conceded the race, I did not concede our movement. We are just beginning."
Mm-hmm. And just to the north there, I wanted to talk about a result that did not get as much coverage on election night as Berkeley, which elected a 22-year-old to its city council. That's barely older than my kids. It's kind of hard to think about. Rigel Robinson ran to represent District 7 less than a year after graduating from UC Berkeley. Mm. And the council member he's replacing, Chris Worthington, he served exactly 22 years. So he's been in office for as long as Robinson's been alive.
Mm.
So the youngster was actually Worthington's pick, and it was a runaway, which maybe isn't such a big surprise. Mm. Berkeley actually reset its districts in 2013 after census calculations, and now District 7 includes the main portion of Berkeley's campus. Mm-hmm. That made the vast majority of voters around the same age as Robinson. So, hey, there's representation for you.
Representation, democracy. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Angela Johnston is KALW's election coordinator, and Ben Trefney is our news director. Find more at KALW.org.